Makeup.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Happy Friday, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. From the standpoint of there's the birds, there's the trees, there's the sunshine, there's all of the things that go along as the opening of season is coming along. And if you're baseball, that's what you want to hope for, because you got a lot of the country that's in cold weather. It's kind of, you know, nasty. You're getting ready for spring, and you want people to be excited about the sport that brings in spring. What you don't want is an owner of a baseball team apologizing in a sorry but not sorry way. And that's what Major League Baseball got yesterday with Jim Crane and the Houston Astros, where his apology wasn't really an apology. His apology was just a statement of, okay, we did something. It didn't affect the game. We're going to all move on. And that's problematic for baseball right now. Why? Because now everybody's ganging up on the team that I think a lot of us in the media said something was fishy. We don't really like it. Probably can't go back in time and take away the title and vacate the championship, but at least a few people had to suffer for it, and maybe Major League Baseball is going to do a better job of not having this be such a big deal. Now that's changing, as people are saying, wait, this is ridiculous. This is not only ridiculous, that maybe they should have this title vacated. We're going to dive into this press conference in a little bit. We're going to dive into why this was such a mess for the Astros, and why, if you're baseball, now you've got to take a step back and go, what exactly are we doing? And what are we doing on this? Because this was a case of very bad public relations that wasn't really the intent when the day started. But this got out of hand, and it has a lot of people now questioning exactly how severe this penalty was. And maybe how severe this crime was in terms of how baseball was played in 2017. It's a mess. And it's a mess for Houston. It's a mess for baseball. And you got a lot of other teams around baseball going, okay, maybe we need to have a bigger conversation about this cheating scandal and this sign-stealing mess. All right, we'll hear from Jim Crane. We'll hear from some of the Astros next, SB Nation AM.
If you live in innocence,
when you make this is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, here on a Friday. All right, so yesterday the Astros began what is being called an apology tour is best way to describe it. I don't think it's an apology tour. I think it was an apology just day. I think it was a day they wanted to get this out in the open and then be done with it, but I don't think they did that. I think this ended up being a big PR disaster. Look, I think public relations is a hard job to do. A crisis PR is a very difficult job to do, because when you're in crisis PR, you know you're handling something where you're trying to change minds of people who may be very, very angry at what you've done. It's not trying to get goodwill with people. It's trying to reverse the course of something that's heading to disaster. And I think the Astros hiring a crisis PR team, I don't think did a very good job with this. Jim Crane, the owner, got right out in the open, started talking about the scandal, didn't really want to blame the players, didn't really want to say it impacted a game. And it drew a lot of backlash. There's a lot of people very, very upset about how the Astros handled this. And I think there's a reason why, because if you look at this scandal on the surface, right, you say, okay, look, did it affect games? Yeah, it did. Did it affect the playoffs? Yeah, it did. Are a majority of people okay with the Astros keeping the title? Yeah, I didn't see a huge outcry for that. I didn't see a lot of people demanding that the Dodgers get the championship or this World Series was vacated. I think there is a part of us that sort of go, we'll take the good and the very, very bad and we'll move on and we'll make it all part of history in some capacity, right? We did that. We did that with the steroid scandal. We're going to do that here. But now there seems to be a belief that the Astros bungled this so badly that maybe baseball does need to revisit this and does need to revisit a possibility of making players accountable for this mess. They let AJ Hinch fry. They let Jeff Lunau fry. They let Alex Cora fry in Boston. They let Carlos Beltran fry with the Mets, managing the Mets, all for their involvement in this. But maybe it is time to start looking at some players and saying, all right, 20 games here, 25 games here, whatever it is. Because this was such a mess that I think it made more people angry than ever before with this scandal, even when it broke and the initial information came out that allowed the Astros to fire Jeff Lunau and A.J. Hinch in the first place. All right, here's Jim Crane. Here is his opening statement to what was yesterday's big apology disaster in West Palm Beach.
Last month, when MLB announced the penalties to the Houston Astros, I issued an apology to our fans and the city of Houston. I want to say again how sorry our team is for what happened. I want to also repeat that this will never happen again on my watch. MLB clearly stated that people leading the baseball operation and field operation should be held accountable for these actions, and I agree with them. Our GM and manager were not only suspended for a year, we went above and beyond and fired them. MLB also acknowledged that the players should not be punished for the failure of our leadership. The leaders enabled, condoned, and did not stop those actions that happened. I also agree that our players should not be punished for these actions. These are a great group of guys who did not receive proper guidance from their leaders. We cannot change the actions of the past, but we are fully committed and moving forward in the right way. I believe a big step in moving forward is with our new GM and manager. We have two men of great character leading our baseball operation. James Click and Dusty Baker will help our players and our entire organization deliver a competitive team on the field and continue our commitment to Houston and make them proud off the field. I'm very optimistic about this season. We have a great ball club, and I look forward to talking to you all about the future. Finally, I would like to personally thank all of our fans, sponsors, and the community of Houston for their loyalty and support.
All right, there's a couple of things about this. One, he kind of got ripped by some people for having he was rather robotic in that opening statement. You know, it didn't feel like there was a lot of emotion. I mean, he's the owner of this team. His team was accused of cheating. Team was accused of cheating its way to a championship. He's supposed to be kind of angry about it, embarrassed about it. That didn't really come through in the opening statement. Let me say this about that. Look, it's hard to give personality traits to people that don't have those kind of personality traits. Maybe Jim Crane isn't a great public speaker. Maybe this is not something he can do off the cuff. Maybe he does need a statement that he has to read off of. And maybe by reading it, that's just the way he has to deliver the message. He doesn't really want it. He's not going to act his way through it, or he's not going to read it with a necessary inflection of emotion, right? Maybe he just wants to lay it out there. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is in the middle of what he said there, when he talked about his players as if they were little children that did not know any better except the adults around them and the adults in the room were responsible for their misdeeds and behavior. This is not a first grade classroom. This was a Major League Baseball clubhouse. This was a Major League Baseball clubhouse that had veterans on that team that didn't step up and do anything. This is a Major League Baseball clubhouse that had athletes who were going out and presenting themselves as all-American, tough competitive guys, and yet behind the scenes were all orchestrating this trash can sign-stealing scandal. Now, if his plan was to sort of lead the way to make sure nobody went after his players, he did not do a good job of that. If his plan was to sort of set it up so you guys don't need to bother these guys, you guys don't need to come after these guys, I've already done it for you. I've already taken care of the real perpetrators of this crime. He didn't do a good job of that. By laying it out that in the end, this was all about Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch, and since we took care of both of those guys, that's all we needed to do, is not going to fly with a lot of people. And that at the crux is where this really started to break down for him and the Astros players that were in attendance. Here's Crane asking, when he was asked the question, why not punish the players?
The report was very thorough, and they did a lot of work on it. Where the commissioner came down, which I agree with him, is that it could have been stopped, and it wasn't stopped, and people had knowledge of it based upon the report. So we hold those two guys accountable for what happened and not stopping that action.
So why aren't you holding the players accountable for stopping it, too? Why does it have to be the two other guys, the general manager and the manager? Why can't it be some of the players on the team that knew about it and didn't do anything about it? Why do they get a pass here? Why do they get to be absolved of this in your mind rather than the two guys, one who said he knew about it, probably should have done something about it, but didn't, and another guy who said he didn't know about it at all, but should have known about it because he was the GM? How come the players that were involved don't get to answer for this? They don't get to ever, and this is not in baseball's eyes. Baseball did this by punishing players. The reason baseball didn't want to punish the players was because it didn't want to punish some of the players. They didn't want to punish only the players that they had evidence against when they knew this was maybe far reaching. So they basically just blanketed the whole thing and said, look, We're not suspending anybody. And the other reason that they did this, and I think this is overlooked, and this is one thing he's missing. The other reason that they didn't suspend the players was they wanted the players to talk. They wanted the players to speak out on this. They wanted former Astros to speak out on this. And so what you're seeing is you wanted to give immunity, a blanket set of immunity to the players, say, look, in the end, we just want to get to the bottom of this. All right. We're not really interested in throwing fines around and suspensions around and ruining careers. We're not interested in that. What we are interested in is answering to the reports that are starting to come out from other clubs and other media guys who got wind of this in 2017. And we've got to figure out what happened. So we need the people to talk. And if in order to get people to talk, you have to offer something. They were offering immunity. So they got information in their investigation that I don't think they otherwise would have gotten. But the way Crane presents it, it's not that the players, you know, were getting immunity and they needed to talk and they cooperated with the investigation, but everyone is guilty and everyone. No, what he was saying is they don't know better. They don't know any better. What do you really want them to do? They're ball players. You know, see ball, hit ball, see ball, field ball, see ball, throw ball. I mean, really? You really thought that they were going to be adults? Yeah, sure, they all have families and they're raising kids and whatnot, but you really thought that they would be adults in this situation? No, left to their own devices, they would cheat like hell every day if it wasn't for the people above them. Doesn't matter what team you play for, Milwaukee, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Marlins, you let players will just do whatever they want to do. My God, if they don't have adult supervision, what do you think they're going to do? And that wasn't a good look. Because if we can't hold the accountable players accountable for this, what can we hold them accountable for? If you're saying that the people that were really guilty were the ones that got fired by your organization, and the people that actually orchestrated, put together the plan and executed that plan, those are the ones that aren't responsible at all? Because in the end, they're players, and what do they know? Oh boy, this is off to a roaring start, but it gets better, and we'll talk about that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's O Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Oh, this Astros apology, man, oh man, is it getting skewed. This did not go over well.
That was the sincerest apology since Bachelor didn't give out a rose.
Ooh, that's a tough reference to... I'm not really sure.
I was very vague because I don't even know.
You were. It was like driving on the interstate and then pulling off to the side of the exit and going.
I'm just trying to figure out what I was
going
to say.
Not going on the. I'm on the on ramp. I'm going now. Going the breakdown lane and hanging out.
It probably would have helped if I ever watched an episode.
Right.
But I haven't. So
I was like,
I can't
don't
really
know
use
what that
reference.
Means.
Let me think of another apology. It's as sincere as apology as Antonio Brown has given over the last couple of months. Does that work?
Right. Very good.
That
very
works,
true.
Right?
How about Ryan Leaf crumpling up an apology and throwing it in the corner of his locker when
there
he was
you
younger?
Go. Remember I didn't want to go there. I like Ryan.
All right. I do. I like Ryan, too. Ryan's doing a great job. He's doing a great job today.
I didn't want to throw him under the bus.
No, it's not. Because Ryan's doing good work. But boy, this is not good. This is not good. But you know, here's the thing. This is the beauty about being a billionaire, right? If you're rich like Jim Crane, you don't care what people think anyway, right?
It's
you're
going
to say your thing and you're just going to move on. You're going to go back to Houston where everybody loves you. And, you know, you said all the right things to them. And that's really in the end all you care about. You know, that's the beauty of that. But it still leaves the organization in a messy, messy position. Because now I'm really curious of how this is going to go down for the players around Major League Baseball, right? Look, from colleagues on other teams to the fans of other teams to the way they're perceived on the road and all of that. I think this was not what I think people were looking for today when they came out yesterday and said, we're going to speak on this.
No,
I think this was kind of the mess that you don't need.
There will be a symphony of chin music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I get when you are doing something like this and you kind of follow the guide of a PR department and they're laying out the game plan for how this is going to work. But there really wasn't this feeling of, okay, should we take this title away? Now I'm seeing it all over the place. I'm seeing it everywhere. There's articles now going, yeah, maybe Major League Baseball should rethink this. Yeah, maybe they should vacate it. Maybe not give it to the Dodgers, but say nobody won in 2017 due to this scandal. That would be the worst part of it. That would be the worst part of it. Because again, sometimes I think you just have to have the muddled history of what happened, right? I don't like it when the NCAA does this, and I wouldn't like it if Major League Baseball did this. But there's got to be a level of, okay, look, our organization, even through the players, is responsible for this in some way. And I think by trying to protect the players so much, he actually hurt their cause because he made it sound as if the players weren't smart enough to figure out that this was wrong on their own. They needed adults to tell them that, oh, you mean we're not allowed to steal signals electronically and relay that through a trash can? I'm sorry, we thought we came up with something cool, adults in the room. I'm sorry, but we children will go back to playing baseball. And that's not a good look for his team. That's not because, again, you can't on the one hand talk about their level of, you know, importance in the community and their level of importance as role models and all of those things that you want to do to good athletes who are in your system and are doing good things in the community and are good role models. You can't on the flip time say, yeah, but they don't know any better. They don't know right from wrong. We have to know what's right and wrong. We have to do it for them because otherwise, my God. All, you know, if you leave them to their own way of doing things, they'll cheat every day. That's very insulting because there are players who wouldn't do that. There are players in baseball that wouldn't be part of that. And I think this was a bad look for them. But it gets even better. Okay, so I had a real problem with that, but it gets even better because this is at the crux of the matter here. Here's Jim Crane saying that this whole thing didn't impact the game.
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. you know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
No, no, no. Anytime you say we'll leave it at that, you ain't going to leave it at that. No. Another bad example of public relations. All right. So he's basically saying if you've got an axe to grind against this organization, oh, contraire, we were a good team. And we don't know. It didn't impact the game. Well, maybe it did impact the game. I'm sorry. Maybe it did. Okay. Maybe by knowing which pitch was coming, it did impact the game. All right. Don't say that it may not have. Oh, you know what, Jim Crane? Say it didn't have anything. Here's Jim Crane denying that he even said what he said 60 seconds ago.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
He does not know how to answer this question. His team, the people that prepped him, did not prep him for this question.
Wouldn't that be question one, though?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this is how it's supposed to work. I have no idea how this worked for the Astros, but this is how it's supposed to work. You get a public relations team, a crisis PR team, into that situation, and they grab these guys and they say, okay, look, here's the way we're going to craft these answers. We're racking our brain to think of every question that could possibly be coming your way tomorrow. So this is how you're going to answer this, and this is how you're going to answer this. And you better memorize this, because this is the best way you could present it. He acted as if he never got that prep, and either his team didn't prep him or he forgot how to answer this. But this was a terrible answer. To say it didn't impact the game, we had the best team, we're going to leave it at that, too. Well, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. The commissioner said that we're not going backwards. But the commissioner's report didn't say that it didn't impact the game. It just said they're not vacating the championship. The Yankees may have a claim to being cheated out of a possible World Series appearance, but baseball wasn't going to do anything about that. Because, and this is right, we don't know if the Yankees would have won that series straight up had there been no sign-stealing scandal. That's why baseball doesn't want to do it. It doesn't want to give the Dodgers the World Series based on just cheating alone. It doesn't want to give the Yankees the American League pennant based on cheating alone. What it's basically saying is, we don't know what the outcome would have been if this was not prevalent, but it was prevalent. We're going to punish for it, but we're not going to go back in time and rewrite history. But that's different than saying it didn't impact the game. That's not what the commissioner's report said. The commissioner's report did not say, because we're not taking the World Series title away from you, you earned it fair and square. That's what Crane is implying. He's implying that they're absolved of their championship of having to give it back. They don't have to give it back because the report said it didn't matter. That they were the better team anyway. That's not what it said.
No, it would almost been better if he came out and just said exactly how he feels. Hey, they may have known what the pitch was coming, but they still had to hit it.
If he had just said that, that would have been a better answer.
Yeah,
you could challenge that, but it would have been a better answer than this.
Yeah, we could have said, oh, well, of course he was able to hit it. He knew the pitch was coming. You know, I always liken this back to the steroid era, where, you know, yeah, guys were juicing. But you still had, you know, the argument was that she's like, well, they could be juicing, but they still have to hit the ball.
Right. Right.
You know, but it's like, yeah, but when they hit the ball, they're hitting it, you know, 1,000 times harder than they probably normally would.
Yeah, that's that, right? It's still like, okay, if your argument is, well, they still have to hit the ball, fine. Why is this rule here in the first place?
Why don't everybody just cheat?
Because in the end, if it doesn't matter, if there's no impact on it, if it doesn't make any difference whatsoever, then why is this a problem? What are you apologizing for then?
From here on out, why doesn't the pitcher just yell out fastball?
Right. Why don't the catcher just tell the guy what's coming? Like, all right, it's a curveball.
Kevin Costner.
That's Kevin
character.
Costner in Bull Durham. Just so you can hit the sign and get a free steak. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It is a Friday. Thanks for joining us at SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. What's the theme of the music you're creating this morning?
Well, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's true. It is Valentine's Day.
So I just, you know, throw in the word love in the old Googleator here on our music machine. And
yesterday, stopped at the store. I got my wife flowers and a card. Every guy was there, and we all were laughing because it's the day before Thanksgiving. We're all in the store.
You mean Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. What did I say?
Thanksgiving.
Sorry, stupid me.
Yep, we know where your heart is. We know where your stomach is.
God, I was like, my wife probably has a Valentine's Day card for me right now for next year. And
probably.
I'm going to wait the day before because I always wait for the day before.
I know. Well, see, I stop by. I always do the day of.
Well, that's even better.
I swing by. I got the good tip on good, decent roses for cheap.
Ah, good. Yeah,
so I always stop by.
Go on the 15th and then you get them like half off.
Well, no. I mean, if you go this one place, you know, never changes their prices. Doesn't price hike just
very
because
good.
It's Valentine's Day.
Well, here's a question I was asking yesterday, because again, it was the day before Valentine's Day, and I was in a store, and there was just piles and piles and piles of Valentine's Day cards that you could choose from.
Yeah.
What do they do with them when they're done? Do they ship them back or do they store them for next year? What do they do? Because I'm sure there's another supply of newer cards that are coming in next year. What do they do with all the old ones?
They ship them off with the 49ers Super Bowl championship
right, that's
jerseys,
right.
shirts.
I was like, because you can leave birthday cards up forever. But these holiday cards, what do they do when there's a thousand of them left that weren't sold?
They send them with the Dodgers 2017 World Series champ.
Hold on, bring those back.
Wait, is that too soon?
That's right.
I'm a Dodgers fan.
Imagine going to those third world countries, plucking those shirts off. You got to give those back. Hold on.
That's always the joke, right? The Bills are the greatest dynasty of the 90s.
I know. But we always make jokes about it, but it's joking about people's economic plight.
True.
Yeah. You know,
I never liked the idea, by the way. What are we just going to do? We're just going to throw them in a big pile and burn them?
No, I agree.
No,
giving them out is cool.
Them.
But here's the thing. They don't have many. They don't make they don't make 500 of them. They only make them for that particular moment, and then they run the presses once the game is over. So you're not giving like a whole village, like a whole country these shirts. It's not like they're shipping 10,000 of them.
I don't know about that, Tony.
No, they don't.
No,
like, why would they? Why would they print 10,000 shirts of one team that they know is going to lose?
This is what I know, is that when the Astros won the World Series, and I guess now we got to do that in air quotes, right?
Right.
But when the Astros won the World Series in 2017... our local sporting goods store was open for business and selling World Series gear, World Series championship gear.
So, but that doesn't make any economic sense. Why would you make 25,000 or maybe even 50,000 LA Dodger championship shirts? Why would you make that many of both teams if one of them you know is going to lose? Like, who suffers the cost of that? Like because did they run them overnight? That's different. Like once the game is over, did they start printing them out? That's what I'm curious of.
I'm not sure. But you can't print and ship that many because as soon as the World Series
is over, you can get local. You can have local T-shirt printing duties with the logo and saying as soon as this is over, go.
You mean Sports Illustrated doesn't have that video? Doesn't have two sets of videos? Remember when they used to do that?
No, that's true. So that's what I'm thinking is that there were T-shirt manufacturers in Houston that were contracted out that said, look, here's the logo if they win, right? If they win, here's what you're going to do. You're going to print these out and you're going to distribute them as soon as possible. That's what I think anyway. That's where I'm going. This is a mess that's gotten worse, this Astros thing. But if I'm Rob Manfred, I'm trying to focus on the season upcoming. I'm trying to focus on the season that's coming up and trying to put this to bed as quickly as possible. This is a bad scandal. It's not a good look. This is not any PR is good PR. This is bad PR. This is something you don't want to have lingering over the season. Because as I said earlier this week, part of a commissioner's job is in the end to be make sure that the game is on the up and up, to keep the public trust, right? To make sure that the public doesn't feel like there are things going on behind the scenes that are altering the games in which they're putting their passion and energy towards. This is all sports. If there's a feeling like there is something going on, that the sport is rigged in a way, whether it's done at the top or done among the lay workers, meaning the players, then something has to be done about it. At the one hand, you want to be strong, right? On the one hand, you want to show that you're strong in eradicating this. But on the flip side of it, you also want to make sure it kind of goes away as quickly as possible. This is one of the reasons, if you go back, you know, what was it? 10, 12, 13 years with the whole Tim Donaghy thing in the NBA. This is one of the reasons David Stern was so angry, because it put him in the position the commissioners don't want to be put into, which is, now I'm answering about the validity of our games. It is one thing if I'm dealing with a player that has been accused of domestic violence. It's one thing to handle a player that's been accused of taking performance-enhancing drugs. We've got policies in place that we can implement, and we can go after the individual players who go off the rails and do something that's not within our guidelines of operations. But when an organization does something like this, stealing signs electronically and then relaying those signs to the players at the plate, altering the outcome of games because they know what pitch is coming illegally, not within the rules, then you have a problem of, okay, as a commissioner, I got to handle this two ways. One, I've got to be the strength to show that I'm taking a tough stance on this. But the other thing is I've got to do is I've got to try to remind people that this is a very isolated case. It's not going on across baseball, that your games are on the up and up. All right. That's the dilemma that Rob Manfred is in. You know, we talked about this week. He's had not the best week for him as a commissioner because of the playoff proposal that was floating around, this trial balloon idea of adding two teams to the leagues, you know. And while I think it's an interesting idea, I know a lot of people came out against it and saying you're diminishing the value of a 162 game season. And what are you doing trying to spark something that may not be there to begin with? Meaning, why are you wanting to train and wanting to change the whole process when you may not gain what you're looking for in the first place? If the millennials, if the young people aren't tuning in, what makes you think they'll tune into your postseason, right? What makes you think they'll be interested in your postseason if their team isn't involved, if their local team isn't involved? You know, look, the Daytona 500 is coming up on Sunday. NASCAR did this a very similar thing. Right? NASCAR was desperate to try to change the way their sport was run. Right. And they changed from a season long build up points at the end of the year. Whoever has the most points wins the championship, to creating this playoff format where there was elimination rounds and you had to qualify to get into the playoff. And you qualified two ways. You either won a race and that got you in, or you didn't win a race. You had the most points of everybody who didn't win a race based on the number of slots available. So there's 16 slots, and there were 11 different winners during the regular season, and there were 5 slots left over. If you were one of the top 5 people in points among the non-winners of the year, you got in, right? Well, people went up in arms on this when it first was initiated, saying, why are you changing something? I've been a fan for 25 years. Why are you changing it? It doesn't make any sense. So you mean if Joe Smith from some small racing group catches a victory on a rain-delayed event at Pocono, where he was just happened to be on the front row, and then the rain came and the race got stopped, but it was good enough to get a victory, he gets to go to the playoffs, but my guy, who didn't win a race but came in second a number of times, he may be left out? Yeah, that's the way it was. And the reason they did it was because they needed a spark. They needed to change, and they were willing to adapt. They were willing to do something different to sort of keep them in the same conversation. There's an importance to traditionalists in your sport. They're the people that buy your product all the time. They're the people that don't go away. But don't take them for granted, because they could go away, right? I'll leave it at this with NASCAR, staying on that same example. And when I covered NASCAR in the 90s, All right. I'll give you a little quick background. I didn't know anything about auto racing, and I'd never been to an auto racing event before in my life. And I was hired by this radio station in Manchester, New Hampshire, near my hometown where I grew up. It was the station my father listened to on his way to work. It was the station we all tuned into to get school closings. It was the biggest AM news station in the state. And I was really excited to be on it because they did a lot of good sports, and I was pretty excited. But one of the first days I was there, they asked me, "Do you like auto racing?" And I said, "No, I don't know much about it." And they said, "Well, here's the deal. The sports director doesn't really want to work weekends, and the other guy ahead of you, he doesn't like it either, so this is your beat." And I embraced it. And I said, "Okay, fine. You're giving me a responsibility. I'm going to embrace it." So I went to races, and I didn't know anything about it, and I had no idea who the drivers were except for the big names, and I didn't even know how the sport was run. I didn't know what caution flags were. I didn't know anything. So I had to really educate myself. And I sat next to a woman named Deb Richards, who was a writer for Winston Cup Scene. That's how far back it goes. And we were sitting in a press box at a race, and she gave me all the information. She let me ask questions the entire race because races are long and there's a lot of time. You're not really doing anything. And she asked me a ton of questions. I mean, she answered all my questions. And I started really understanding the sport. I understood the people behind the sport. And back when I was covering it, they were in North Wilkesboro. They were racing these short tracks, right? They were in mostly in the Southeast. Yep, they'd go to California or they'd come up to New Hampshire. They'd race at Watkins Glen in New York. But it was pretty regional, and they'd go out to Phoenix, but it was pretty regional. And then it exploded. Then the sport was on covers of the magazines. Jeff Gordon was a superstar, and he was building this rivalry against Dale Earnhardt, the Intimidator. And it was captivating, and people were getting caught up in it. And they were building racetracks all around the country. They were taking the sport to Las Vegas. They were taking the sport to Southern California. They were taking the sport to Chicago. They were going to go to Kansas City. There was all these cities that were building these big racetracks, but they were leaving these small tracks. They were leaving some of the small tracks that had been the root of their sport. They were taking that audience for granted. They were saying, "We want to expand our fan base." But those fans were buying into it for a short period of time. Those fans who didn't have it as part of their sporting culture enjoyed it for a while. And for some, it hooked, and some it didn't. This is what baseball's problem is baseball wants to change a lot of things at the expense of the people that are always there, and it's no guarantee it's going to deliver what they want as an end product. And what their end product is, we want to reach to a younger fan base. We want to go after the group that has not been hooked onto this sport since birth. And meanwhile, there's a larger group of older people that baseball really isn't all that interested in making happy because, again, they hang around. They're there all the time. They get told, "Yeah, I know you're worried about the changings of this sport, but we have to do something because what you are isn't good enough. The group you're in isn't good enough. We're not doing well with another certain group. We have to do better with them." So you sacrifice from the group that's always been with you to gravitate towards people who you're trying to convince that your sport is viable. Now, I'm not disagreeing with the philosophy of what NASCAR did. They're in bigger, they're in big cities now, but at the same time, there was some good racing at some of the smaller tracks that they had to abandon to go on to these bigger tracks in Vegas, Chicago, and Kansas City and whatnot. Did it diminish the sport? Maybe. But it was at a movement to try to expand. And sometimes you look around and you see empty racetracks. You don't see full racetracks anymore. All right, and on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. This is something that's going to be with us this morning, this whole Houston apology tour. Because I think there's a larger issue here in when it comes to cheating and cheating scandals. We're outraged, but we also know that this does go on and how we react to it as fans, how the media reacts to it, how the sport itself reacts to it has a lot to do with it. Some of the reaction of what the Astros said yesterday coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And there you go, the Valentine's theme continuing today on SB Nation.
It's a great
Radio.
Valentine's Day song, right?
Right. So funny that it's Valentine's Day and we're talking about apologies.
Well, isn't that the really crux of Valentine's Day? Isn't that where it came
much,
from?
Pretty much.
I mean, you know, I think basically what it was Valentine's Day was created when guys started realizing that, you know what, she was right. I didn't get her the right Christmas gift.
That's right. Yeah. So I now have 2 months or a month and a half to prepare to
recovered.
Fix this problem.
Now I can buy you that diamond pendant that you asked for.
Exactly. Exactly.
Instead of me thinking outside the box. And you know what? You'll get more use out of the crock pot.
Yeah. That's true. I got my wife a gold-dipped rose 1 year. For Valentine's
Ooh,
Day.
Did she
yeah,
still have it?
Still has it.
Nice.
That was like year five.
What about those? Have you seen those things like forever roses? They last a year?
Yeah.
I mean,
is that some freak of nature?
I'm afraid to bring that into the house.
Yeah.
That might be the cause of coronavirus. I'm not sure.
It might be. You never know. What about that gift? Remember years ago? I think it might be still around, but remember years ago, it was name a star after somebody?
Yeah, it's still out there.
Is that still out there? Is that
I
still
think
a
so.
Thing? Well, with billions and billions and billions of stars in the galaxy, that's probably a company that's not going out of business anytime soon.
And really,
it's not like they run out of stock.
And really, can't you name like the, you know, give a different name to
right.
100 names to one star?
Exactly.
No one's ever going to know.
It's supposed to be registered in the star registry, but...
I just point up to the sky and say, see that one right there? That's yours, baby.
That's right. I got it. You can make your own certificate online, you know. Just give it to her. It's official. I bought that star. Can we see it again tomorrow? Nah, we can't.